Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
To be really super, super safe. But some people feel like they're safe right now. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney kicking off the week with all of you across the United States and beyond our borders. Big shout out to our pals in the UK, Australia, also in Spain, and many other people listening to us in France as well. They want me to start shouting out French words, but I need to practice before I can do that. Enchanté. So just hang on for that one. The vacation song actually is interesting because there's a lot of focus on what's happening with these spring breakers in Florida and that they're not wearing masks and they're on the beach and it's the kids, you know, and this whole spring break thing. Cars are cramming the highways and the restaurant reservations are practically necessary again, especially in like Miami. There was a banner on Miami Beach and I have to laugh and it said vacation responsibly. What does that mean? Vacation responsibly. Social distance. So move your towel so it's not right on top of the person next to you. So in Florida, it's winter tourism season, which was cut short last year, a few weeks into the pandemic, but it reopened months before much of the rest of the nation, which only in recent days has begun to emerge from the better part of a year under lockdown. So lots of crowds are returning to places for spring break, but particularly in Florida, where it's just booming. I mean, completely booming. And on that note, we are taking the show to Florida, to St. Petersburg and a few other places for a satellite. I'll call it a satellite convention, sort of a hybrid. They call it a hybrid convention. And we're going to bring you some actually exciting things. I will be vaccinated by then. And so will the people around me. And there's all kinds of protocols that are going to be in place. So we will be taking a mini vacation, I guess, in a sense. Plus, my relatives are there. I haven't seen my aunt in a year and a half, vaccinated, quarantined, all that stuff, so that we'll be as safe as we can be. And that's the kind of conversations families are having, and that's why I started with this, because is life returning to normal, or is it seem like it? Are you a little bit weary of what's been happening for this past year? Of course you are. And are you anxious to return to whatever you would call sort of normal? Live music came back to the bars in New Orleans. Crowds poured into restaurants in Atlanta, Kansas City, movie theaters in California opening their doors pretty soon. Texas reopened this past week from one side of the state to the other side and everywhere in between. There were spring breakers on South Padre Island, which is in Texas. Playgrounds packed in Chicago. The Texas Rangers, I've mentioned this on previous shows, they announced last week they're going to fill their stadium to capacity next month for the debut of the baseball season for opening day. And they say they have all kind of protocols in place and they feel comfortable with that. So the unemployment rate is 5.1% in places like Florida. And so people are moving to Florida and people are leaving New York big time. Manhattan is like a ghost town from what people have told me. And for better or worse, Florida's kind of turn in the experimental department in returning life as how it used to be kind of shows us of what many states are going to look like in the weeks coming up. Governor Ron DeSantis was pretty much gloating about it. He says Los Angeles isn't booming. New York City isn't booming. If you look at South Florida right now, the place is booming. And you know what? It is, because there are also people, like I said, that are fleeing New York and going down to Florida. So, tragically, 32,000 Floridians have died. I mean, that's unimaginable, right? Miami-Dade County averaged about 1,000 new coronavirus cases a day over the past 2 weeks, one of the most serious outbreaks. And Florida is thought to have the highest concentration of this B.1.1.7, the more contagious virus variant first identified in the UK. But Florida's death rate isn't worse than the national average, right? Despite the large number of retirees, young partiers, and tourists. So caseloads and hospitalizations across most of the state are down. So people are showing up. People are doing that vacation thing. And this is what we're going to see unfold in many other places. Now, on the other side of this, the vaccination, more and more people are getting vaccinated. You know, when you have 68 million getting their first vaccine and then they're in line to get that second vaccine, the idea is by the very beginning of May, anybody who wants a vaccine, any adult, will be able to get it, period. So you could be on that list if you want to get a vaccine. And that's the good news. The other thing that has happened is the stimulus money. So if I say this show is a snapshot of what's going on around the country, and part of the conversation is if you're expecting a check, did you get a check? Are you, you know, how much you're going to get? Is that going to help? Is blah, 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 blah. I mean, that's some of the conversation. So the stimulus checks, if you had direct deposit and you qualify, will start showing up in your bank account for whatever, how many kids or how many individuals, you know, you go by what the qualifications are. And then for others, they'll get a paper check or get a debit card or, you know, whatever it might be. But it's going to be interesting to see how smoothly it goes, because there's already some people that are saying that stimulus checks apparently were sent to wrong bank accounts. For some Americans checking the IRS Get My Payment tool, just go there and see what happened. This or that on the flip side.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence. intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper-growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
On the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round. They gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone.
All right, time for This or That. Sir Eric, the technical maestro of the show, joins us now. Hello, Eric.
What's up, Kate?
Oh, there's a ton of things up, including daylight savings time. And in fact, that's our first This or That. So daylight savings time, This or That. So no daylight savings time, or are you on board with it?
No daylight savings time.
Did you get confused? Did you not get enough sleep?
No, I made it to work a little bit late, but it had nothing to do with daylight savings time.
But you don't like it. You'd rather have it so that the way the dark versus the light, who cares, just keep it the same.
Yeah. I mean, why do we have to try to put our hand in everything, including time, you know?
I like that. I like that you're saying that. Why do we have to put our hands in everything? You know, why? There is something to that. Daylight savings time really annoys a lot of people. And here's what I hate. I hate daylight savings time for the fact that I don't like the spring. It's already planted in my head, spring ahead, I'm losing an hour. Fall back, of course I like it better because you're gaining an hour. So that's already in my head. The idea of daylight savings time was proposed in 1895, and it was the German Empire and in Austria that they came up with this in 1916, where that started to happen, and a lot of countries have used various times since then, and especially in the 1970s energy crisis. But, you know, a DST is not observed near the equator. Did you know that? And how about this? In the United States, I love my people in Tucson and other places in Arizona. In the United States, Arizona and Hawaii do not observe daylight savings time. I bet you didn't know that.
I knew about Arizona. I didn't know about Hawaii.
Yeah, they don't do it. So good for them, right? Because it's
definitely,
like,
yeah,
good for them. So you just have to remember that.
I'm
it's
jealous.
Like, I am too. I'm with you. I don't like it. I say no. It bugs me. It does. I don't like it. And then it gets confusing, and I know it's stupid if we know it, but I don't agree with it. All right, so we're on board. We both like that, this or that. We like that. We want the other option. So, you know, you're pretty good. You try to eat healthy, but now all of a sudden you got this choice of M&Ms, and you're going to eat them. Peanut M&Ms or chocolate M&Ms?
Peanut, for sure.
Peanut M&Ms are so good, aren't they?
Too good.
They are too good because you know what happens? They know this. They have you. When you go to grocery stores or other places, they put them someplace really close, like in the front when you're checking out. That's a big trick of like Bed Bath & Beyond, Michael's, I guess any place now they seem to do it.
Those retail people.
Yeah, because they know. Of course, if you're waiting in line, especially with social distancing, it's probably even bigger. But how about this? So M&M's peanut chocolate candy, there are 206 calories in 20 pieces of those.
How many again?
206 calories in 20 peanut M&M's.
Okay, that's not too bad.
It's not too bad, but if you had just the chocolate one, you'd save a lot more. It's like 144.
Yeah, I guess that's why I would try to keep it under, like, 15 M&Ms.
Count them out. Put them in a little baggie every day. You have your little baggie of M&Ms at work. I've counted them out. It's a new way to be sure I'm safe. I mean, seriously, it is addicting. If you got a giant bag of it, I think it'd be very hard to not just grab handfuls of it. And I'm with you on the peanut M&Ms, too. I would definitely take them over the chocolate ones. All right, you know, we like to bet on all kinds of things in this country, and sometimes we do what I call the sleight of hand betting. So, oh, no, it's illegal, you can't do it. But everybody does brackets, so the NCAA tournament is now upon us, which, big shout-out to Ohio University. Woohoo, my alma mater. They got in, shockingly. They're going to play UVA, so that's going to be really tough because they're the fourth seed. But that's okay. So the Bobcats and the Cavaliers, I am so proud of my Bobcats. But you can bet on these brackets. You don't have to know anything about college hoops. People probably will hit you up. Hey, $5, be in this, you could win, blah, blah, blah. And you just fill it out. But there's also like Grammy brackets, Academy Award brackets, like award shows. But you're a music guy. There's Grammy brackets. And we just had the Grammys. So if this or that, would you do a Grammy bracket for $5 or an NCAA bracket?
I guess I'll have to go with the Grammy bracket.
Grammy bracket. All right, so I would go, of course, with the sports background I have, I would go with the NCAA. And I love music, but I don't know as much about music. You know way more about music than I do. Like, did you know this? Beyonce broke the record for the most ever Grammys won by an artist. She 28. She had a big night. She had four more Grammys, but she's got 28 Grammys.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy. What do you do with all those Grammys? What does she do? I mean, I don't know. Who knows? She probably lives in a glass palace somewhere. So,
like, what did she do for all those Grammys?
She sang and danced. I don't know.
That's it?
I mean, that's it. You know, she got that many. And then Taylor Swift became the first female artist to win Album of the Year 3 times in a row. 3 times she won it.
Mm.
Wow.
Impressive.
That is impressive because I didn't know this. By winning it 3 times, she joins Frank Sinatra, Stevie Wonder, and Paul Simon. They're the only ones that have won it 3 times.
Okay. Yeah, that is really impressive. But it's also, I think, getting out of control. Like, if Taylor Swift is has caught up already to, like, those people. You know what I mean? Maybe they're handing them out a little too freely. I don't know.
Too freely. I like that. Too freely. I like Taylor Swift because what I do know about her, and I don't know a lot of her music, I only know a little bit of it, is that she really helped other musicians by demanding to have a certain amount of money because of all the whole thing with Spotify and everything. And she really pushed to make it better for herself and other artists, I think.
Oh, okay.
So you got to give her credit for that.
Yeah.
How about this? This is a big one, and people listening, I think, can relate to this as they're eating their peanut M&Ms and they're fretting over daylight savings time or not. Back roads versus highways. Are you a back roads shortcut guy or give me my highways?
Oh, this is a tough one because as someone who likes to drive and who likes cars and cruising and stuff, I like both, but I guess I'm going to have to go with the back roads, I guess.
Back roads. Ooh. I guess I'm going to have to go with the highways. As someone who grew up outside of a very big city, I like shortcuts, so it's kind of a difficult question for me, too, because I know the back roads, like in New York or Philly or in places in Texas. In California, forget it. In California, you have, like, no ways. There's hardly any shortcuts when you're like in Los Angeles. It's 101, the 10, and you're stuck. 405. I mean, forget it. But I still would say I'm a highway person. So just because I know how to get off and on them, and I know the areas better. I have a funny story to tell you about that. Someone said to me once, I was brand new to Texas, and of course I've lived all over this great country. And I had lived in Texas in El Paso, but not in Dallas. And I asked somebody, I don't understand what this FM 127.1 FM is. What does FM mean? And they laughed and they said, where are you from? And I told them and they said, oh, it's that FM is short for farm to market. That's what the road is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know.
Farm to market, because that's what they used to be, right? You were going from the farm to the market. I had no clue. I was like, wow, this is driving me insane, and I have no one to ask about this, so I don't know. All right, we're going to squeeze in one more. We decide we're going to have a fundraiser and create a circus, and you have to either be a clown or a trapeze artist. Which are you doing?
I'll be the clown.
The clown? Oh, clowns are scary. I'll be the trapeze artist. All right.
Hard.
It does sound hard, but I'd have to get lessons, right? And they have a net.
Yeah, that's true.
I could fall on the net, so I'm okay with that. All right, Eric, Sir Eric, as always, thank you. Thank you for the fine work on the weekend show. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Kate.
Minerva Garcia coming up next. She is awesome.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. The CDC says the United States has now administered more than 105 million doses of coronavirus vaccine. The new number showing that nearly 69 million people have received at least one dose, with almost 37 million being fully vaccinated. Even with rapidly increasing vaccination rates, Dr. Anthony Fauci says he's still worried about another surge in new infections. He tells NBC's Meet the Press that with the spread of new variants, he worries cases could quickly start to rise again.
There's always the risk of another surge, and that's the thing we really want to avoid, because we are going in the right directions. That's why I get so anxious when I hear pulling back completely on public health measures, like saying no more masks, no nothing like that. I mean, that is a risky business.
And President Biden has made his first comment on the ongoing scandals of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Briefly speaking to reporters outside the White House on Sunday, he commented on whether the governor should resign.
I think the investigation is underway, and we should see what it brings us.
This is USA Radio News. One of the Democrat Party's top lawyers has been hit with sanctions by a federal court.
Mark Elias led a team of attorneys to file lawsuits to expand ballot access in swing states. Republicans and former President Trump criticized him, saying that he was being used by Democrats to steal the 2020 election. The Epoch Times reports that Elias has been sanctioned by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, and several of his colleagues were admonished. The sanctions are for an ethics violation and submitting a redundant and misleading filing. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
And NFL quarterback Drew Brees announced Sunday he's hanging up his cleats. Brees retiring from the NFL after 20 seasons in the league, 15 of them with the New Orleans Saints. He retires as the NFL's all-time leader in career passing yards with over 80,000 and sits second all-time in touchdown passes and completion percentage. He's also the only quarterback in NFL history to throw for more than 5,000 yards in a season more than once, accomplishing the feat five times. He holds a revered position in Saints history, leading them to the franchise's only Super Bowl championship in 2009. This is USA Radio News.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the EV stocks boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot EV sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Here's just one example of what you can get with the information delivery system from Metals Industry Report. The electronic vehicles market could see a compounded annual growth rate of around 21.1% through 2026, turning into a multi-trillion dollar industry. Text tech to 48542 for more info on the EV market and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with your free subscription to the Metals Industry Report. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word tech to 48542. Text now to get your free subscription from Metals Industry Report. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Text the word tech to 48542. Text tech to 48542.
I can't wait to introduce you to our next author. She's terrific. I mean, seriously, this book will take you to places that will inspire you. And the name of her book is The Journey of a Rainbow, My Poetic Mind Views. And wait till you hear her story. It's so fascinating what she's done in her life and how actually she's created so many of these poems. Minerva, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
So, let's talk about, first of all, your journey with poetry, because I love how you get inspired to write so many of your poems. When did that first start for you, and what are your inspirations? What happens when you see something? Are you running around? I picture you running around with a paper in your back pocket and a pen somewhere, and you're writing things down.
Actually, I really don't. I started, first of all, writing, actually, I was about 8 years old. But before that, I could say that it was really at 4 years old that my parents hired a private tutor, and he recognized something different, and he emphasized very early on to express myself verbally, and that's what I did for many years, until I learned how to write, and then I was writing, but I would discard all of my writings. I didn't know how to say them, nor did I know it's poetry. My poems really involved, actually, when my brother passed away when I was 18 years old in college. Then I met my husband, and I really have to thank him for recognizing my talent and also instructing me that I should say them. So that's really the history behind it. And always when I get inspired, which I get inspired almost all the time, I learn now to use my cell, and I write everything in my note, and I keep them there, and I usually start first with a title and then evolves. And my poems always starts with a title, and I see the letters dropping as raindrops, and I have to mold them into words quickly because the rain is so fast in writing those lyrics or words that I manage sometimes just to go really fast and write them.
Yes, it's so interesting. You know, and I think of rainbow. Rainbows are significant to me. Are they significant to you, and that's why you put it in the title?
Well, rainbows, it's always been extremely, you know, very important, especially in my life, because, you know, we all go through ups and downs in our lives. But whenever I've gone through something really difficult, I always manage to pass and always picture a rainbow. And no matter what, I always see the rainbow at the end. And I think I'm very grateful and also feel very special that I'm able to catch a rainbow. And it's so beautiful, and all those colors. And when I think of a rainbow, I always also think of God, the water, because whenever you see a rainbow, there's a connection there with water, and also the sky. And also, when I see the sky, I see God, and I always call God the Supreme. So to me, those are very special and symbolic.
Yeah. And so I think you've told us some of this, but I bet there's all kinds of inspirations for you. What else inspires you?
Well, I'm inspired by nature. I'm inspired by God, love. It could be death. It could be a child crying. It could be anything. I'm inspired by anything, especially life, anything that lives, especially the stars, the moon, raindrops, even a tornado. Everything has significance to me. And I put meaning and value into it. And I try to put a story behind it because everything in life involves a story.
Boy, isn't that true. And we're speaking with Minerva A. Garcia. Her book is called The Journey of a Rainbow, My Poetic Mind Views. So tell us some of your favorite poems.
Well, I do have a couple of them. Like, for example, I do love In the Microbiology Lab, Paper Frog. I love The Role of a Poet. And I also love Ice Cream in the Sun. And they all have very, very significant, you know, meanings behind it. And also situations, how it rose to writing those poems to me. And it always stays in my mind. So it's very significant to me, all those four, among others.
Yeah, and when people get your book, they'll understand. So tell us, let's take one of them. Tell us about Paper Frog. Why is that significant? What is Paper Frog?
Yeah, Paper Frog is extremely significant because it happened when my son was very young. And, you know, we had a house. We still have our own house, but, you know, there was a little paper that was in the image of a frog. And I recall asking my husband, you know, this paper here, and it's not going to go away unless I write a poem. And I did write a poem titled Paper Frog. A couple of weeks later, I asked my husband, you know, what happened to the paper? And he goes, I have no idea. He didn't touch it. My son was barely a year old, and the paper disappeared, and I was right. It was meant to write a poem. The poem came out of this image. And I'll never forget how significant it was to me. And, you know, it was very unusual, that incident, you know, that I wrote a poem, and then as I felt that it was going to disappear, it really did disappear.
It did disappear. And
yes.
So I'm glad that you do have the words and they didn't disappear, because
no.
I just have this image of a paper frog, and I'm sure plenty of people are thinking of the same thing, conjuring up images. You know, it's interesting because I mentioned that people would be fascinated by your background. You're a microbiologist. So first of all, how did you get into that profession?
Well, I always wanted to be a doctor. It's really young. I started at 12 years old at Kent Stryper, so I always thought I was going to be a medical doctor, but it just happened when I graduated from college. I went to Columbia University, and I decided to, you know, leave Columbia University and, you know, start a training in the laboratory, which I did. And I always enjoyed the laboratory when I was in college, especially microbiology. So as I finished the training, I decided to, to specialize in microbiology. And I did get my master's degree and I excelled. And, right now, currently I work for, New York City Health and Hospital Corporation at Jacoby Medical Center as an associate director for microbiology. And, it's been fascinating, the microbiology, field. So I really wanted to be a scientist. I recall that, as a young child, I was always a medical, interpreter for my parents when they were ill. And I would go to the hospital and they would ask me, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to help the doctors. I want to be a scientist. But little did I know that I was going to become a microbiologist. It was all those times I wanted to go to medical school, become a doctor. But my passion was really the laboratory, which I excelled. I always worked with other students and helped them out. So to me, it was the right career to go into. And still, I'm so grateful that I'm in that career because to me, it's a passion just like poetry is. And both of them are synonymous with what I love to do. Poetry is a hobby, but it's become a life passion, and so has microbiology, both of them. And I'm so grateful that I'm able to work in a field that I love and I'm so passionate about.
Yeah, and you can tell that. You can tell that you love writing poetry and you love your career as a microbiologist. And as you said, who knew that you would end up being a microbiologist? And there is something that's interesting about that, because is it isolating in the lab or no, because there's other people there and you're, of course, helping other people out?
Well, in the laboratory, as you can imagine, working in the laboratory, especially right now with COVID, we are away from patients. And that's why they call us the silent heroes, because we are in the lab, we are wearing lab coat, we're wearing goggles, we're wearing a mask. And that's something that we always done, not just because of COVID, because we are dealing with unknown pathogens. And, perfect example would be right now that we have the world really on our knees and everything has frozen. And even our economy, our political, everything has been dominated by COVID. So this could, you could explain, what is so important about microbiology, And it's because, these pathogens, you don't see it, you don't hear it, but it's so lethal. They're so potent. And what they do is they strive, are causing diseases. And think about it. They've been here way before us. They've been here about 4.8 billion years.
Yeah. So interesting. It's such a fascinating career. We could probably talk the whole show about what you do for a living and then your poetry, too, as well. And I know that you have a second book. You and I were talking off the air and you were talking about a second book that you want to write. What's that going to be? And do you have a title yet for that?
Yes, it's interesting because of COVID and everything else that's happened, and also my mom passing away. She died actually in May 2019. My book came out in April 2019, and she didn't get to see the book. So I actually was inspired, and in 2 days I actually wrote the book. It's entitled Inspirations from Above.
Oh, Inspirations from Above. And are they also a collection of different poems and things that you have along the way that your husband encouraged you, oh, you have all this stuff, let's put it together?
Actually not. Those collections came to me in 2 days that
wow.
I was so inspired. And I always read the New York Times and I had to pause and not read the New York Times for many, many months. So what I did was I just sat to get myself, gathered all my thoughts together and came to realization of what's happening, what's going on. And the only explanation that I just have is like all of us as a whole, we need to sacrifice ourselves and think deeply. What are we going to do for our future, for our children and everything else? And what goal do we have in mind to continue striving and what plans for the future? Because this COVID crisis has taught us so much. I mean, we have lost so much lives. And I was inspired by COVID and seeing the heroes in our laboratory and also the medical community and throughout the world. We seem like we are not together, but I think we really are, because we all force in our home. We are family. And we know now what's so important. Family is the most important, loving each other. And if we are to survive and to strive, we need to be together as a whole, as a human race. Otherwise, we all disappear.
I agree. Perfect place to end this. What an inspiration you are. The Journey of a Rainbow, My Poetic Mind Views, Minerva A. Garcia. Pick it up on Amazon. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We go to Sydney, Australia, for a conversation with Christine Aylett, who's written a book that I think anybody going through this, anybody who knows people going through this, or anybody who just wants to say, don't tell me what's going to happen to me. She's written a book called Cancer in Me, and wait till you hear about her journey. Christine, thanks for joining us on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, and thank you for the listeners.
So there's no question. I mean, first of all, you come from a family I would like to just be right in the middle of. You have 8 siblings, 38 nieces and nephews. What was it, 38 great nieces?
It's roughly.
Wow. That's roughly crazy. Right. That's about as many people that can sit in stadiums right now. So it's going to be your whole family. So what's so interesting is you can tell you're very bubbly and gregarious, and you seem happy to me, and that you are a doer. So take us to the moment when you got diagnosed and then what you were told.
It took a while for them to find out what was wrong with me. I was in and out of doctors quite a bit, and I was losing weight, and I just felt tired all the time. But then I was lucky that I had a really good doctor that she chased it up, and when I went to the hematologist, he did a bone marrow, and then they found out I had the stage 4 cancer, breast cancer. And in the hospital, they didn't say I was only had 6 months to live, but that's going by the stats. That's what you've got with stage 4. They say you've only got 6 months to live. yeah, he, and as I was, it hit me at first, and then I sort of went blank when they told me. But then after spending some time with me a weekend to myself, I sort of started thinking about, well, it's my choice to get off my butt and I can sit down and just die, or I can live my life and just do what I need to do to get up and get back on top of the horse again. I was determined to live, because I thought, I was angry at first, and then I was determined to live, and I thought, nah, I've done a lot of work on myself to get where I am today, and I'm not going to die. I'm not ready to die, and I'm not going, I don't care what people say. I don't know what people, I had to separate people's fears from my own and just work with that. I had to cut some people off. I had to isolate myself away from certain people so I could just deal with it and move on and focus on the positive. I did small steps. I did little bits and pieces. I could just sort of, I started to think, have small steps and just think, okay, well, I can't do this like I used to, but I can do this. And just change the way I was thinking, self-talking. I had to change a lot of my things that come normal to me, and I took for granted. But it's just like rebirth, and I had to start my life again pretty much and just work with the cancer treatment rather than fight it. So I started to focus on just living my life the best way I could, like getting up, getting dressed, getting motivated, and then going out for coffee with my friends and just focusing on those positive things. And then gradually the treatment started to work for me and my life started to get a little bit better. And then I just kept living and living and doing the things that I could do, even just to go out in the garden for 5 minutes, listen to music before I had to lay down, just having little goals each day and then just following through with them. And then each day they'd get better and bigger, and then I'd start to heal even better, and my life started to get better and even better, and my health started to even get better, and all the treatments kept working, and they continue to keep working. So my goal is, I just focus on living each day. I'm not ready to go and I'm not going, and I don't care what people tell me. There is a lot of negativity. People relate cancer to death. I don't agree with that. I think we can heal ourselves, and I think we limit ourselves in our own mind.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting in saying that. You told me a story about you went to the dentist, and the dentist basically said, which is a shocker, by the way, for dentists, no offense to all the dental people I know, but he's basically telling you, oh, don't bother doing the work.
Oh, totally. Yeah, he really annoyed me. Because when I was working, I was going to get all my wisdom teeth taken out anyway, and I had planned on doing that, but because of the chemo, I had to get the dentist, had to get them all down, all out, because I was getting these injections and it's something to do with the calcium. And so I had to get it done before I started the treatment. So I went in there to get it done, and he just said, if you don't, and it was going to cost me quite a few thousand dollars. And he said to me, if you're going to die, I wouldn't be paying for this. And I was quite shocked. Usually I'd tell him where to go, but I was really, really shocked. I was just shocked by somebody who would say something like that. But I did say to him that I'm not ready to go anywhere and I'm not going anywhere. And I had the treatment. I got all the teeth taken out and everything else.
Wow. It's so interesting because you have that experience with the dentist, and you say you had to cut some people out and you knew you were going to have to learn to do some things a little bit differently, but your outlook was just so wonderful, and what a difference. And now it's been, what, 4 years?
Yeah, 4 years. I'm still on hormonal tablets, but I went to the doctor the other day and he goes, everything's good. My doctor wrote a letter to the GP that he couldn't believe I was still alive.
Wow.
And I still look, I don't even look sick. People wouldn't even know I've got cancer because I don't look sick. I mean, I feel it inside and I get tired, but that's about it. I sort of don't look sick, which is good.
It is good, and it's incredible. Your story is incredible, and I'm so glad you're sharing it with everybody, because I think there is something to be learned by this. What made you decide that you were going to put this together in a book, Cancer and Me?
It was a spur of a moment thing. I think with all my experiences I went through, it helped me, because I was a worker. I worked a lot, and when I stopped working, I lost that mental stimulation, and I needed that mental stimulation, so I did some short courses I could do online that I could work around within my time. So I did a writing course, and I did, and I also journal. I do a lot of journaling, and in my journaling, I'll express those experiences I had, like the dentist and other experiences I had at the hospital. So I just put it all together. I had to put something together for my writing course. So I put something together from my journal and the experiences that I experience and the people I come across, and I just put it all in the book. And I wasn't going to publish it. It wasn't my idea to publish it or anything, but a friend of mine rang, read it and said it was really good. And then the next minute she suggested publishing it, and I thought, oh, no, I'm not that good. I didn't think I was, like, I didn't think anything by it. But then one day I was just sitting on the bed, and I went through publishing, and then the next minute I got hold of Balboa Press, and I published the book. So that's how it come across.
And it's wonderful, and it is well done, and it is inspirational. And I think lots of people, not just people who might be going through this, but other people could read your book and get a lot from it. What do you hope anybody listening to us, they get your book, they read it, what do you hope they take away from it?
I want to inspire them. With the book, I wanted to inspire people to say cancer's not just about death. You can move through it, and you can heal yourself. You just got to have that will and determination, and you've got to have maybe just change. You've got to look at yourself. Look at yourself in a way that you've never looked at yourself before. And if you need counseling, go and get it. You know what I mean? If you need help to get through it, go and get it. Like positive. I mean, talking to somebody, being open about your true feelings, whether it's your past or your cancer or whatever you're doing or dealing with. Just move through it, grow from it. There's nothing wrong with going to ask for support or help. And I've seen a lot of people die just because they hear the word cancer. And it's not right. I don't believe that's true. You can survive from it if you want to. You've just got to, as I said, you can either, it's up to you and your choice. You can either choose to lay there and play the victim and die, or empower yourself through it and grow through what you go through, sort of thing.
The best part about doing this book for you, I mean, you didn't think you were going to do it. You did it. What was it like when you got the book?
It was great. It was really, really good. I was so happy with myself. I was really proud. And I was proud of the support people, because I acknowledge, unfortunately, I didn't put all the right names in there, because I really wanted to acknowledge quite a few people, because that got me through. Like just the local cafe I was going through, and the banter I had with the guy, he was quite good. And then I met another cancer patient. We used to talk at the cafe, and just the oncology staff at the hospital were great, really caring. And they were joking. It wasn't, they didn't just talk about the cancer. You could have a good joke with them and laugh. And that's something I think it's important for anybody's character. You know, you need a good old laugh. Yeah, they inspired me a lot. I was inspired a lot by them.
I think it's a perfect place to end this, that you were so inspired by the people around you, and they helped lift you up, and you probably helped lift them up. So I suggest you go to Amazon and get Christine's book, Christine Islett, Cancer and Me. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. An honor.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.